This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the demand in wind energy is creating a huge demand for new windmills. We'll take a look at the problem that's caused. We'll also have a look at our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Now that voters in Champaign have turned down a township tax hike, the township supervisor is preparing to cut back on assistance to the poor. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Supervisor Linda Abernathy says that with the failure of last week's tax referendum, she'll have to cut the number of people receiving City of Champaign Township relief from about 100 a month down to around 40. Those remaining will receive just $100 a month, less than half of what they get now. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says Abernathy will just have to work with the money she has. He questions the increase in the number of people receiving public assistance since Abernathy took office.
People have a lot of questions. It ran so many years with a surplus, and now all of a sudden within a few months the surplus is gone, and the amount of clientele has skyrocketed, and I think they have a lot of questions of how that came to be.
Champaign City Council members acting as the Township Board will approve a new Township property tax levy next week. Abernathy wants the Board to raise the tax rate as much as state tax caps will allow, but Schweihart says he doesn't want to go that far. Abernathy also hopes the City will give or lend the Township additional money to help with Township relief. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A Champaign clinic for the medically underserved opens the doors to a new facility next week. Francis Nelson Health Center will offer more than twice the exam space of its current location on Carver Drive, with expanded hours, mental health services, eye care, and a social worker. A ribbon cutting was held yesterday at the new site at the Pioneer Plaza Shopping Center, Prospect Avenue and Bloomington Road. Barbara Dunn of the Community Health Center, Francis Nelson's parent organization, says access to health care for many, including the elderly, has been a large problem the past few years.
We see that increasingly the physicians are not seeing Medicaid-eligible people. Many companies, because of the cost of insurance, are no longer able to insure employees. So we see that growing all the time.
A fundraising campaign spearheaded by the United Way of Champaign County secured and restored the location, but the center's still looking for more than $500,000 in donations to help pay for construction and upgrades. Francis Nelson will begin seeing patients at its new facility on Monday. Illinois lawmakers have advanced a plan that would block large electric rate increases this year. A Democrat-controlled House committee voted 10-3 along partisan lines to put a three-year freeze on costs that consumers pay for electricity. Meanwhile, a Senate committee has approved a $1-an-hour increase in the state's minimum wage. It's expected to pass the full Senate, but its fate in the House isn't clear yet. Senate Republicans in Illinois are still smarting from the recent election, in which they lost 5 seats. The fallout could force a change in state GOP hierarchy. Sean Crawford has more.
Senate Republican leader Frank Watson of Greenville might face a challenge from within his own ranks, one that could strip him of his title. For his part, Watson says he wants to keep the position.
I still would like to lead the caucus. I think I still have something to offer and build from there.
But some are already quietly working the Senate membership to determine if a partisan coup is feasible. One of those is Elmhurst Republican Senator Dan Cronin. But Cronin says it's all speculation at this point.
I don't know that anybody is seeking leadership at this point in time. I think really what we need to do is figure out the cause of the problem before we try to craft a solution.
Cronin says Senate Republicans need to look at the elections and figure out what went wrong. When asked if he thought they should work closer with Democrats than in the past, he says the GOP should reevaluate everything. The roles are coveted because leaders control a lot of money, which gives them power over policy and their members. I'm Sean Crawford.
A Decatur City official has died after a car crash yesterday. 57-year-old Philip Wilhelm was the municipal services manager for the city. He died yesterday in an Urbana hospital. Police say Wilhelm's city-owned car was turning left on a Decatur road when it was hit by a pickup truck and pushed into the concrete median. Police haven't issued any citations. Wilhelm was also a former Decatur school board member. Supporters of a ban on using cell phones while driving say they're not too disheartened by a lack of support in Champaign. Mayor Jerry Schweihart said earlier this week that no council members were willing to go along with a hearing on the matter. The move is being spearheaded by Chuck and Gloria Wilhelm, who lost their son Matt last September when his bicycle was hit by a car whose driver was downloading ringtones. A friend of the Wilhelm family, Dave Powell, is organizing support for a ban on using cell phones at the wheel. He says there's already precedent, including bans in Chicago and Winnetka, and a rule forbidding the use of cell phones inside Centennial High School.
So they're beginning to make some adjustments already because they realize the impact of cell phones as a distraction. Well, if a cell phone is a distraction in a classroom to learning, it's certainly a distraction in an automobile with respect to driving.
Urbana City Councilman Charlie Smythe is sponsoring a ban in his city. He says even though it doesn't yet have majority support, aldermen will soon hear from residents.
You've got to get the political support organized for it. I think the political support is out there, and that's what we need to get. That's the next step, is get it organized and then move forward.
Smythe likens the move toward restrictions on cell phone use to the effort in the 1980s to toughen drunk driving laws, which took many years to accomplish. He says it could take months for an ordinance to surface in Urbana. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. U.S. demand for clean energy is growing fast. In fact, wind energy developers are ordering so many windmills, they're running into a supply problem. Windmill manufacturers overseas have been shipping their products to the booming U.S. market. That's already created some jobs, and now there are plans to build factories to produce windmills here. It's all happening in spite of inconsistent federal support. Stephanie Hemphill of the Environment Report has more.
At the Duluth Port Terminal, the BBC India is tied up to the dock. Two giant cranes slowly lower a silvery propeller onto a waiting truck. The blade is half as long as a football field. The extended bed of the 18-wheeler isn't long enough to hold the entire length. A padded steel structure cradles the narrow end above the ground. There are 66 blades on the ship, three blades for each of 22 towers.
The three blades will bolt into a hub, and then a hub attaches to the nacelle, the generator package, that's the actual turbine. And the nacelle sits on top of the tower.
Andrew Holdrup is the port captain for the shipping company. He was here in Duluth a year and a half ago when the port handled its first ever shipment of windmills. Holdrup says the demand for windmills is huge in the U.S.
We have four ships. All they do is run from Denmark to Houston with Siemens windmills. And we discharge them in Houston, the ship sails back empty to go pick up the next lot. And then you multiply that by all the other ports and all the other windmill manufacturers, and it's a huge business.
It's great business for Duluth's port. Unloading the windmills requires iron workers to cut the steel where the pieces have been welded to the ship, and crane operators and longshoremen and truckers are staying in town waiting to pick up their loads. They'll haul the windmills to wind farms being built in Maurer County, Minnesota, and Oliver County, North Dakota. The port has also handled equipment for wind farms in Manitoba. The boom in wind was primed in the early 1990s when Congress set up a production tax credit for wind power. It allows a 1.9 cent per kilowatt hour tax credit over 10 years for electricity produced by wind. But the tax credit only runs for 2 years at a time. Ron Johnson is in charge of marketing for the Duluth Port Authority. He says that on-again, off-again approach has made it hard for businesses involved in wind energy to plan and grow.
It's kind of, you know, start up against stop. And, you know, if you're a trucking company with these specialized trailers, you don't want to go out and buy 50 more of them if there's a chance your whole fleet's going to sit until Congress decides what to do.
Johnson says there's a lot of support in Congress for the tax credits, and he expects them to be renewed. Steve Stengel works for FPL Energy, the company building the wind farms where these windmills are headed.
It is part of the business. We understand that. And it does cause kind of starts and stops, if you will.
But he says it's possible to work around the periodic breaks in the tax credit because it takes a long time to plan a wind project anyway.
Permitting issues, land lease issues, transmission issues, we have to plan as if the tax credit is going to be there.
In fact, wind is growing dramatically in spite of the iffy nature of federal support. Several states now require utilities to invest in renewable energy or offer incentives for wind power development. And as the cost of fossil fuels goes up, the relative cost of wind goes down. It all adds up to a lot of demand and, recently, tight supplies. The American Wind Energy Association's Susan Sloan says orders are already in place for 2008 and beyond.
Because of this boom and bust cycle, but also because of just this new acceptance of wind, we are seeing a tighter supply, and we need to have the manufacturing capabilities catch up.
And that's what's happening. It took 2 weeks for the Siemens windmills to sail from Denmark to Duluth. Now the company is building a factory in Fort Madison, Iowa. Siemens says it will employ 250 people and start producing in the first half of 2007. And in Pipestone, Minnesota, Suzlon, a company based in India, is about to start producing 3 blades a day and the nose cones to go with them. The company plans to manufacture the electronic controls and eventually employ up to 300 people. Suzlon says it has orders for the next 2 to 3 years. For the Environment Report, I'm Stephanie Hemphill.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Blustery may be an understatement for the weather over the next couple of days in Illinois and Indiana. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be cloudy and windy in all sections today. In northern Illinois, scattered light showers and drizzle. Central sections, a few scattered light showers and drizzle early, then steady rain this afternoon, and widespread rain in the south, heavy at times there. Highs today ranging from around 40 in northwest Illinois to 54 in far southern Indiana. Tonight, very windy in all sections. In northwest Illinois, scattered showers. Elsewhere, widespread rain could be heavy. Lows from 33 in northwest Illinois to 45 in southeast Indiana. Ed's calling for gusty northeast to north winds tonight at 25 to 40 miles an hour with higher gusts in the Champaign area. Tomorrow in northwest and west central Illinois, cloudy and windy, patches of drizzle. Elsewhere in the state, very windy with rain, possibly mixing with wet snow in some locations. And in Indiana, cloudy with rain continuing. Highs ranging from 40 in northwest Illinois to 50 in southeast Indiana, with north to northwest winds again at 20 to 35 miles an hour and gusty. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.